morning. Thank you for, before I start, I'd like to thank the elders here for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. I apologize, I'm a little hoarse. It's not COVID, I promise. I'm not unclean. I just been dealing with some laryngitis, but got that figured out at the doctors the other day. So like they said, my name is Lincoln Schatz. I go to Fried Hardeman. I'm a Bible major, a ministry specifically. I'd like to be a youth minister after I get out of school and do that. So I go to Fried in Tennessee, but I've always been in Huntsville. I grew up here all my life. Come April, come May, it's storm season. And that was always, as a child, that was always in my brain. That, you know, even though April's my birthday and it's great, that April, March, May, all those months, it's the spring, the weather's changing, and it's storm season. And when I was little, I have no idea why. I don't know where it came from. My parents don't know where it came from. I was just deathly afraid of storms. I couldn't stand it. And specifically, tornadoes or just really bad storms. I was deathly afraid. I would cry. I would feel sick to my stomach. I had such bad anxiety about these storms that would come up. And there was a few reasons for that. I would have so many bad thoughts about the things that could happen. I'd be thinking about, you know, what if our house is destroyed, or what if this storm is headed right towards us? Because the weather can be unpredictable, I would get overwhelmed, not knowing. I would ask my parents what was going to happen, or is it going to be okay? And they couldn't tell me, because weather is unpredictable. And because of that, that scared me too, because I didn't know what was going on. I had no control over the weather. I had no control over what was happening. And it just made me feel like there was this huge bowling ball in my stomach. I don't know how to describe it, but it just made me deathly, deathly afraid. I studied weather and clouds and different things to try to get over this fear a couple times. It never worked, though. When those storms would come, I wouldn't be like, okay, well, I know this. I would forget everything that I knew. I'd forget everything I studied about weather. I would forget that I had never been hit by a tornado before, and I would just focus on the fact I didn't know what was going to happen. So much, and especially, you know, in 2020, we talk about the storms of life. I feel like that illusion is really, really good, because sometimes life can be like a storm. It can be something that's unpredictable and uncontrollable. And 2020 has been a storm. I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, a lot of us, well, not me right now, but a lot of y'all are wearing masks. I mean, it's crazy. It's been something nobody could predict. So why is it that these storms that we go through, that people go through, why is it that these happen and people go through this, and then they come out with damage to their faith that is irreversible? And when I say a storm, I'm not talking about just one bad day. I'm talking about a true trial, something that really, really is just a period of time that really gets to us, really tests our faith. There's a few reasons for that. Number one is that we need control of our lives. If you think about it, we control a lot of what we do. You get up and you control what you wear. You control where you go. You control what you say, how you sleep, when you sleep, when you eat, what you eat. We control so much of our daily lives. We control all these things. So we don't often find ourselves in a place that is helpless. We don't often find ourselves out of control. When that does come, though, just as, you know, it made me afraid when I was little, when that out of control thing happens, it makes us feel scared. It can feel crazy, because we like to have control. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn those to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting verse 23. So, disciples get on this boat, and in verse 23 it says, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed," talking about Jesus. "And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. The disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We are perishing.'" So disciples set out, and all this storm comes up, these The wind starts coming and the waves are crashing and they get afraid. We ask ourselves, why were they afraid? Well, I think that's pretty easy to tell. They were in a boat in the middle of the ocean and they had no control over what was going to happen. They had put all the power on themselves to steer this boat. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God." So much in our life, we want to put power in ourselves. So much in our life, we want to make sure that we are controlling our destiny because I got this. We don't often think that we need to put the power in God. We are not strong enough to go through life by ourselves. We are not strong enough. We have to have God, true strength, to get through life, to get through the storms, to get through the trials, comes from God. But it's so easy in our life to forget that, to think that we're doing all this. I got this job, or I'm in this position, and it's because of me. It's because of my strength, because of my ability. We've all seen the bumper sticker that Jesus is my co-pilot, or riding with Jesus was one I saw the other day. We've seen that, but that's not how it works. Either Jesus is driving the car, either Jesus is in the driver's seat, or he's not in the car at all. God's not in our life, if we don't let him drive our life, then we pay the consequences. Because we like to fill our life up with things that aren't God, that make us feel strong. God can't be number two or number three. He has to be number one. It's not enough for him to be second option. We can't fill our life up with things like our job or like school or our favorite hobby or something that makes us feel great, something that makes us feel strong. We have to fill that hole up with God. And the moment that we go through a storm, the moment that we go through a trial, those things that we spent so much time filling our life up with, that we use to justify our actions, those things are going to fail us, and we're going to be left alone and abandoned. We have to put our strength in God. We have to put our life in God. Let's continue on in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." So they wake Jesus up, and what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "O you of little faith." We have to have enough faith to give it to God. We have to let go of our life, of the control that we like to have. We have to just trust in God, trust that he's going to make it okay. This year has been unpredictable. This year has been all kinds of, we've been out of control. But are you panicked because God is not in your life? Or have you made him a part of your life? We just have to let go sometimes. I know I find myself, I'm a big sports fan. I find myself in life feeling like somebody who's just holding on to a basketball. You see on TV, they'll be holding and the other players are trying to swat it out of their hands. I feel like we do that to God. We're just holding on for all we got, because it's our life, it's not God's, it's not anybody else's, it's ours. It's our problems, it's our situation, we can handle it. There's no shame in needing help from God. There's no shame in letting go. We don't know what God's going to do, but we have to trust because of his word, because of the things that he says, that he will do what's best for us. Look at the Bible. There's never a circumstance where somebody trusted in God and he let them down. The second reason a storm can be scary, can be out of control, because we get focused on the present situation. I did that a lot. When that bad weather would come, and they interrupt whatever reality show my mom was watching, and they would start talking about where it is, and what's going on. I just focused on that present situation. I wasn't focused on the past. I wasn't focused on the future especially. I was focused on that. Sometimes things happen so fast in our life. Sometimes things just happen and we get caught up in a situation that worries us so much that freaks us out, that God fades to the background. We get so focused. We reel in on this one thing that's going wrong and it's consuming us that we just kind of let our faith kind of go to the side. We procrastinate our faith. Say, oh, I'll get to that later. I'll get back to church then. Or I'm busy right now, so I'll get my prayer life back up in a week. We can't be like that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We're still in Matthew. Starting in verse 22, a very familiar story once again. So, once again, the disciples head onto this boat, and it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, and there's those words again, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind had ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see, Peter, to me, is one of the most relatable people in the Bible. Peter steps out on this boat. He steps out and he starts walking on water, and it's going great. And a lot of times we have times like that in our life where life is great. We come off of these big things that happen, these big events at church, or maybe you just heard that one sermon that just really fired you up for God. And we go through seasons like that where it's great, and we step out of that boat and we're just walking, we're having a great time, and there's no problems. We're looking at Jesus, we're focused on him. But we also go through seasons where it's not like that, and we sink. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 tells us that we need to be ready in season and out of season. It doesn't matter if we're in a good spot in our faith or if we're in a not-so-good spot. We have to have the same faith. We have to worship God even if we aren't necessarily feeling it. Even if our situation is making us feel like, "Oh, well, God, to fit him in is just too much." It doesn't matter. We can't be remote that has to wait for new batteries. We can't just wait for the next moment that charges us up. Because that's how our faith just passes us by. I think Satan's crafty, right? A lot of times I know when I was growing up, I always thought, well, I would know that he was doing something. I would know, well, this is Satan. This is what he's doing. But then, I don't think Satan works like that. Satan will make sure that your faith is just something slowly dies. Faith is never just 100 to 0. It slowly falls out of somebody. And if we get focused on our present situation, we can look up one day and realize we have gone so far. We have sunk so much. Peter was going towards Jesus. He was walking towards him, focused on him. And when did he sink? When he lost his eagerness and focused on his present situation. He looked around at the winds and the waves and he was scared. He lost that. He got so focused on, he didn't focus on the Savior that was in front of him. He instead focused on the situation that was around him. How many times do we find ourselves in our life focusing on the situation around us and not the Savior in front of us. We sink ourselves. God has to be the number one focus. Whatever it takes. It's not always going to be easy to pray. You're not always going to feel like getting up and going to church. But we have to force ourselves to, because our eternal situation matters more than our present situation. The important thing to remember, too, about this passage that we read is that Jesus pulls Peter up out of that water. Even when Peter falls, even when Peter does stumble, he gets pulled up. So even if we do start focusing on our present situation, even if we do think, man, I haven't been to church in a while, you can always come back. Jesus will always be there to pull us up. Finally, we also get kind of, our faith gets damaged in these storms of life. They scare us so much because we can't see tomorrow. Turn your Bibles all the way to the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 19. So we see in 1 Kings 19, Elijah has had this big win against these prophets of Baal. And starting chapter 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." So Elijah lost hope here. It's hard for me to understand, because Elijah just has this huge win against these prophets, and now he's afraid that somebody's saying he's going to kill him? Elijah loses hope and runs. When the weatherman would get on the TV when I was little and I was afraid of storms, I wanted to run. I wanted to drive somewhere up north where we could just let the tornado do its thing and we could come back and everything would be okay. But we can't run. Bad things happen, and it can be overwhelming. It can get to us, and we just want to curl up in a ball. We just want to not be in that situation anymore, and we just want to run. We just want to find that shelter. And he starts complaining to God after that. He starts saying, "Lord, just kill me." He wants to die. We cannot be afraid. We've heard so many lessons over the past few months about faith over fear. But how much are we applying that? We hear the lessons. We hear what's going on. But are we applying that to our lives? Or are we just running from our problems? Are we running from God because we're scared? Are we running from the thing that really, really matters? And in the end, we see that God makes it okay with Elijah. God gives him this reminder that he needs, that people are still there, because he starts to talk about how he is alone. We must cling to God. To conclude, I want to read the rest of 1 Kings chapter 19. In verse 11, it says, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice.' So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" We overlook in that passage sometimes, I think, the voice of God. We often think of God's power as He is destroying these nations or doing these crazy things. We think of that as his power. But I think here we see God, we see all these things are happening around Elijah, that there's all this wind and fire and there's an earthquake. And I'm sure it was quite a scene. But God talks to Elijah in a still, small voice. I think that's power. That's control. A lot of times, you know, in life, this year, different things, we see that it gets overwhelming, that there's all this stuff going on. But are we listening for the still, small voice of God? Are we looking for God in the small parts of our life? Even though there's fire and there's earthquake and there's wind, we have to know that God can still talk to us. God can still talk to us through His Word. We can talk to Him through prayer. No matter what. No matter what's happening in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." God made us to be powerful from Him. God didn't make us to be afraid of the situation that is happening. Lonnie Jones, one of my favorite preachers, one of my favorite quotes from him is, "We can only control the controllables and do the doables." We have to learn that in this year and after this year, that we have to trust God. Trusting God is sometimes blind. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the evidence, or the evidence of things not seen. We can't always see what God's doing. We can't always know. We can't control God. Sometimes we have to blatantly and blindly just reach out, do what we can, and trust in God. We have to have true faith. You know, look, I'm tired of living in 2020 as well. These situations have tired me out, you know. I'm tired of hearing the lesson about social distance from sin. All these things are given lesson topics. But what matters is that we make it through this year. What matters is that we cling to God. Not just now, when things are bad, you know, when things are unpredictable, but for the rest of our lives. This morning, maybe you find yourself in a situation that's been overwhelming. You find yourself in a place in life that's just too much. It's been too much for you, and you become afraid, or you become so focused on it, or you just have wanted that control. Give it to God. You can come forward. We can pray for you. Or maybe you're ready to step out. You're ready to take that journey, and you're ready to be baptized into God's church. You can do that now as we stand and as we sing.